See you, man. Great. Absolutely great. We've been thinking about Dirty Glory, haven't we? Are you bored of it yet?
No.
Oh, that was a good... I won't wander that way. I'm making it more make funny noises. I'll stay here. I'll try and behave, Carlos. I'm sorry. Fantastic. I've been listening to the book again. So I've been listening on Audible and on Tuesday. I'm off on a Tuesday, and on Tuesday morning I'm cycling along the prom because there's no hills. So I'm cycling along the prom. I'm sure it's good for me, you know. And I'm listening to, there's a particular chapter in Dirty Glory about a guy called Brian Heasley. And as I'm cycling, I start to cry. And I'm a reasonably emotional bloke, you know. But it's not normal to be. I nearly went in the river. Like, because Ryan's story is particularly touching for me. His dad's a pastor, and mum and dad get called from Ireland to England to lead a church and take the I think it's four boys with them. So they leave one city and go move to another one. And not long after moving to somewhere in the south of England, Brian's mum suddenly dies. And it's, you know, as a pastor with pastor's kids, you go, you know, what does that do to your family? Just incredible, sad story. And at the same time, incredibly joyful. Within seconds, I'm laughing. I mean, it's just, God, what you're doing to me emotions this morning. It's like being at Long Lane on a Sunday morning, isn't it? I'm up and I'm down and I'm up again. We had blind men walking this morning, all sorts of stuff. You might not have spotted that one, but I did. All sorts of stuff going on. Brian ends up in prison. You know, he robs a place with a claw hammer. Didn't go well for him. Ends up in prison. In prison, he starts reading his Bible. Comes back to Jesus. Ends up in prison two more times. Because that's sometimes how it works out. And finally becomes a pastor himself and a missionary in Ibiza. Amazing story. And if you've not read Dirty Glory, you might think it's a book about prayer. But it's not. It's a book about people. It's a book about people. And that's us. That's us. We are people. And sometimes we are in real trouble. We're facing all sorts of stuff. And yet in the middle of all that, there is this call for us as Christians to be people of joy. In fact, joy is a mark of the Christian. And if you have had decades of miserable Christianity, you're doing it wrong. Yes. You are. You're doing it wrong. We're meant to be joyful, not happy. Not happy about what's going on in the world. Not happy about cancer or death or divorce. Not happy about those things. But in the middle of it, finding joy in Jesus' name. Finding joy and hope in him. I'm going to read a little excerpt from 1 Thessalonians. It's a fantastic little book. It's really, really encouraging. And one of the kind of key themes of Thessalonians is joy and joy in people. So this is where 1 Thessalonians. But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again. But Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. You could have shouted that out this morning, couldn't you?
Yeah.
When Ruth said, who are you in Jesus? I'm his glory and his joy. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who was our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that while we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labours might have been in vain. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He's told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as also we long to see you. So when we could start... Oh, there we go. Hang on. I missed a page. It's okay. We'll just read that bit and then we'll get on with it. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. It's a passage about joy, and it's a book about joy, but the joy is in the people. And we're meant to be people who reflect this incredible joy. You know, we sometimes think, don't we, that we are the first consumer society. And you might have heard that. You might have heard that, you know, the ancients, they took joy in people. But we moderns, we just take joy in things. But it's not true. It's not true. When Jesus says it's harder for the rich to enter the kingdom of God than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, he completely dumbfounds his audience. Because in their world, if you are rich, you are clearly blessed by God. If you've got money, you are clearly blessed by God. So when Jesus says these guys, they're not necessarily blessed by God just because they're rich, he's like, what do we do with that? What's that about? And you know, the good Marxist in me, is there such a thing? Anyway, the good Marxist in me wants to say, yes, all you rich are going to hell. You know, and then I look at what I've got and I look at the telly and go, oh, I'm one of them. That's the problem, isn't it? Actually, we compare ourselves to other people. The state of the human spirit is consumerist. We want stuff. We want to gather stuff. And the word of God tells us something different. It says that God's joy is in people. In fact, there is a theological change from Old Testament to New. In the Old Testament, the push is for land because people need an identity. But that changes completely in the New Testament when God's push is for the nations, for the ethnicities, for the people of the world. There is this joy in people that we need to somehow get hold of. And there is this word that Paul brings in 1 Thessalonians about encouragement. And this is not a poor quality TED talk that is somehow trying to make you be a better human being. This is scripture. This is something you need to get hold of. You need to be a people of encouragement, because discouragement is not a spiritual gift. And if you want to bring joy, if you want to be the joy, if you want to be joyful, you need to get hold of this. I need to be an encourager. I need to say, didn't you do that well? It's hard when you're English, isn't it? Because, you know, we're very good at being sarky, especially hard if you're a Scouser. I'm just bringing the banter. How was that? I mean, stop it. We need to encourage. I mean, you can encourage this morning about my fantastic Scouse accent if you want. We need to encourage one another, because encouragement is powerful. It's absolutely powerful. Now, you, most of you don't have the same personality as me. I sometimes even listen to my own sermons. That's how sad I am. Because I think, that was good, wasn't it? How did I do? I did really well. I've got a really odd personality type. I think I'm good. And I ask myself if I am, and I tell myself I am. Most people don't have that, do they? But even if you've got this hyper self-confidence, which I have, I still need encouragement. But for most of you, you haven't got that. And actually, we constantly need to be told, you're doing well. You are a son of the King. You are a daughter of the King, and he sings over you. That's why church is so important, to gather and to encourage one another. This is not just self-help. This is scripture. Later on in 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, encourage one another and build each other up. Why? Because we're meant to be the joy bringers in this world. We're meant to be the people who bring the hope and the life, not the misery. We're meant to be those who say, come on. There is more to life than this that we see around us. Paul is saying, stand against the culture. I mean, this sermon until yesterday morning was called Christians Are Weird. And I just thought, I'm not sure that's a very encouraging thing to say, so I changed it. But you are, aren't you? Those of you who follow Jesus, you are weird. If you're not weird, you're either doing it wrong or you've read the wrong bit of the book. Because we're meant to be an alien race. in the world that says anything to people to get a laugh out of them. We're not meant to be like that. We're meant to be those who bring a word of encouragement. Paul says this incredible thing. He says that in chapter 2, verse 17, he says, when I was orphaned from you. Isn't that an incredibly powerful thing? He says, I was orphaned from you. It's like, you are my children. I am your father, and I have been separated from you. That's such a powerful thing. I really miss you. I really, really love you. You know, the one requirement for me to be a church leader is you must love your church. You must love your church. And I say this, it's terrible when you get old, isn't it? I say this to young pastors. There are people in this room who still call me young man, but they're getting slimmer and slimmer, aren't they, you know? I say this to young pastors all the time. If you can't love your church, don't do the job. If you can't love your church through difficult times and through great times, then get out of it. And you find pastors all the time who just seem really unhappy with the people they lead. Leave. Go and do something else. Go and find it. Go take some time out. We need to love our church.
Oh, man.
Thank you. But if you do any role in this church, you need to love the church. If you're serving the coffee, if you're doing jelly tots, if you're doing kids' work, you need to love the church. And let me give you an opt-out clause as well. If you don't love the church, stop doing the work. Honestly, stop it. Because your lack of joy is evident. Your lack of love is evident. Stop it. Put it down. Walk away. Have a break. Have a sabbatical. Go and find Jesus again. I mean, he's not lost. You are. Go and find him again. We need to be those who encourage one another. Paul says to them, verse 19, what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we glory? Isn't that amazing? Yeah. It's you. Oh, look at that. You know, sometimes we think of the crown, don't we? I know I'm hyper-religious. But you know, you think about this crown I get in heaven. I was thinking about that in the week about fasting. Don't tell anybody you're fasting because I might get another jewel on my crown. But when the New Testament talks about a crown, generally it's not a gold thing. Maybe in Revelation, but here Paul's talking about that laurel wreath you get for winning the race. And he's saying that my winner's medal is my winner's hat, my winner's whatever it is not because of the work I do, it's because of the people I'm with. Isn't that amazing?
Oh man.
We think, sometimes think it's all about work, so I just need to work a bit harder, do a bit more, give a bit more. All of that is great, maybe. But what Paul says here is, my joy, my crown, and my people. That is a beautiful thing. Look at the person next to you. Tell them, you are my joy and crown.
You're happy.
But of course, life's not all great, is it? Sometimes it's difficult things, and one of the challenges for us as believers is to find joy in pain. To find joy in pain. To find joy in pain is really, really challenging. The New Testament brings this challenge consistently. Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, says James. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. There is this weird thing. Christians are weird. That we can find joy in any situation. Jesus is walking with his disciples and they see a blind man. Shouldn't encourage you. See, a blind man. And the disciples have this idea. Who sinned? This man or his parents? You see, there's something written within the cultures of the world that says if life is difficult, you've done something wrong. If life is hard right now, you have offended God. You find it in Hinduism, you find it in Buddhism, you find it in Islam. Islam is particularly interesting because it's fatalistic, Islam. And so our response to New Zealand was very Christian. I mean, the world's response actually was very Christian, as in sorrow. The Islamic response is, it's the will of God. How does that make you feel? Pretty miserable, that, isn't it? It is not the will of God. It is not the will of God. And what Jesus says when he encounters this blind man, he says to his disciples, neither he sinned nor his parents. This is for the glory of God, to be sure. If you are in the middle of pain, yes, we talked a couple of weeks ago about, you know, examining it. What do I need to sort out? What do I need to put down? What do I need to confess? Obviously, do all that stuff. But do not assume that your difficult position right now is because God is somehow punishing you. That is not a Christian view. That is not a Christian view. Peter, James, John, Paul, Jesus. They all say, you will face trials of many kinds. Jesus says, if you give everything up for the gospel, you will get 100 times. Fantastic. 100 times more. Who wants 100 times more? You know there's a trick question coming, don't you? I've been here before. I'm not putting my hand up. Because then he says, and persecutions. Just because you're in terrible pain this morning, my lovely friend here, does not mean God is against you. He is for you. He is for you. And we need to somehow find joy in pain. There are some scholars, some kind of educators of Christian leaders who say you should never, never use the Greek in a sermon. You know, don't educate them. You know, don't let them know what the real answer is. But some bits of Greek are fantastic, aren't they? Probaton means sheep. I mean, isn't that great? Paracles, it's a little parrot on his shoulder, and says, you're doing great. Oh, don't do that. But for libo, oh, isn't that the best word ever? I feel like we need to be a bit Pentecostal this morning. Come on, let's look around at each other and say, libo. I must be honest with you, I'm not sure that's how you pronounce it, but I think that's probably Thlebo. But Thlebo is mega, especially with my list. I love it. How do you find joy? It means trouble. Thlebo means trouble. And when Thessalonians is written, he's not talking about persecution, the horrendous persecution that the church has gone through for 2,000 years. And it was Tertullian that said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Persecution actually grows the church. Our fear during the Arab Spring was there'd be no Christians left to seed the church. But God is not mocked. God is not mocked. And the fastest growing church right now in the world is Iranian. And come on, Lord. But Paul's not talking about that specific horrendous persecution. He's just talking about trouble that all of us face. And in the middle of that, we need to find joy. How do you find joy in the middle of it? Well, you need to look for it. On Friday morning, we have an exercise class meets in the church on a Friday morning. And Liz, who runs that, comes to see me about 9:10 and said, the toilets in the ladies' toilets are blocked. So I've got everyone's number on speed dial. No, I haven't. I'm like, I need to do something about that. Because the toilet's blocked, so the ladies are then using... There's 30 women come with their kids to... Well, we need toilets. So the sermon is put down and the gloves are put on, except they would have been if we hadn't gone out. So, you know, I did wash my hands later. And off I went to the ladies' toilets. Actually, in fact, I got a litter picker into the loos because Thursday night is youth night.
No.
Thursday night is youth night. And there was wodges of toilet roll pushed in and flushed to deliberately block the toilets. Now, oh, there's toots. See the toots? Oh, this is absolutely true. Now, where's the joy in that? What do you do about that? I mean, do you make Becky and Kate beat them back? No, actually, might have been there. No. Do you make Becky and Kate, you know, police the toilets? Do you say, no more you people allowed? Tell you what, let's only allow the nice ones in. And I'll stand down the door and decide which ones are the nice ones. Or do you find the joy in it? We've got young people who come into our church who still want to block the toilets. Yeah. That is not a touch. That is amazing. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. We, a few years ago, quite a lot of years ago now, one of my friends in church had her purse stolen. And she was really unhappy with me because I was going, get in. Because we had a thief in the church. If you can leave your bag, if you, and you might do this, if you can leave your bag laying around in this building, A, I would say you're foolish, and B, I would say we're not reaching the people we need to reach. But we are on a Thursday night, because they are block on the toilets. And I honestly, I'm not always full of joy, I am not. You can ask my wife later, she'll absolutely tell you that. But I honestly, Friday morning, I am going, because God knows what sermon I'm preaching. And I'm going, this is fantastic. I thank God for my friend Rob and for his team that open those doors to those young people to say, come in and block our toilets because Jesus loves you. So you need to look for it, because sometimes it's hard to find, isn't it? Look for the joy. Find praise in it. Praise is an incredibly powerful weapon in all areas of life. And if you are in a place of misery, let me encourage you to start to praise God. Stick a CD on in the car. Come on, praise the mighty Lord Jesus. Put your CD on, stick your headphones in, shout, sing, whatever. Find your praise in the middle of the ball. Pray it in. We're told to be full of the Holy Spirit, but we leak, don't we? Especially when times are difficult. Paul says, go on, go on, go on, go on, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Not a one-off baptism, but a multiple, onwards, loads and loads and loads of times, baptism of the Spirit. Lord, will you baptize us this morning, because I've lost my joy and I need to find it. Lord, will you baptize me in your Spirit this morning, because I've lost my love and I need to find it. Lord, will you baptize me in your Holy Spirit this morning, because I want to feel what the people around me feel. It's a good prayer to pray, you know. Joy. Ask for it. Ask for it. Galatians chapter 5, Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. If you are struggling with any of those things, if you are not a patient person, start praying that scripture over yourself every day and see what God does. If you have lost your joy, start praying that scripture over yourself every day and see what God does. I promise you it works. I know it works because God changed my life with that. So come on, church. Let's grab hold of what God has given us. Let's step into it and let's be transformed as a people, because if we're transformed, our families, our workplace, our neighborhoods are transformed. And speak it out. The one thing Paul does in Thessalonians is he speaks it out. You are my joy and my crown. If you want to be joyful yourself, you need to bring the joy. If you want to be joyful yourself, you need to bring the joy. You're looking great this morning, Pastor. I love your dodgy Teesside accent. Just speak hope into people's lives. Just a little, you know, tip. This is not just for Christians. You know those particularly difficult people that you work with, or that live in your street? Start speaking encouragement into them. I mean, you might have to look for it. It might take a while to find it, but this is gold. This is gold. You bring the joy. You bring the joy. They might hate you right now. Bring the joy. No. If they say something particularly bad, you say, oh, I've never heard that swear word before. That was a good one. Bring it. Encouragement brings joy. It releases joy. I'm almost out of time, but we need to remember that we live in a place of victory. We live in a place of victory. We might not feel like it this morning, but we live in a place of victory. We stand in a place of victory. I have this funny thing happens to me every time I take a funeral. Thankfully, as this church has got younger, I've took less and less. So hang on in there, folks. I like to do a whole 2 years without having to do one. So, but as when I do a funeral, I get this thing. People don't know quite how to express it, but essentially they say, that's the best funeral I've ever been to. I get that often. People sometimes book me in. That's the best funeral I've ever been to. Will you do mine? Well, not this week, but you know. Because, oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? You know, I've been to some really tough funerals of family members, of people who should not have died. And it has been sorrowful and sad and happy and joyful all at the same time. That is Christian joy. Not out of happy situations, but in the misery. Because we are standing on victory. Jesus Christ, the Holy One, risen from the dead. He declares the victory. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd give us joy in victory today. Lord, I pray we'd know your victory. Lord, where, as Paul says, you know, he's been blocked by Satan and the church has been tempted. Lord, let us find you. Lord, let us find our hope in you. And Lord, I pray you'd release joy in this fellowship. Lord, I pray you'd release joy in this city. Not about the ups and downs of football or commerce or music, but the joy of Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the hope of the nations. Give us your joy this morning, Lord. In your mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.